Joining us now, really good guy, one of my best buddies. We hang out together all the time.
All right. You know what?
Alan Bell, CBS Sports. You can follow him, Alan Bell, 24/7.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, he was a guy I thought we were cool, but I guess not, man. AB, thanks for coming on anyway, bro. But, you know, whatever I did to you, man, I apologize. You know, I still got love for you, bro. So, you know, hopefully we can work this out and still be cool.
What? Let me say this. First off, yeah, I owe you one, man. I definitely owe you one. I was getting ready to come in last week, and yeah, I got slammed.
Dude, no, I'm messing with you, man. I wouldn't pick on you if I didn't love you, bro.
It's the same, man. It's the same.
Well, we joked on the air that, you know, it wasn't like he texted me right back. You text Alan, and it floats out in the ether, and then he finds
it. He's a busy man. He's got a lot of stuff going on, but it's good to talk to you, man. Everything good?
Man, it's great over here. How about you guys?
Yeah.
Well, Titans fans are certainly excited. You know, obviously getting Julio, it's something they wanted. And, you know, I thought John Robinson was very transparent and forthcoming on Sunday when he talked and said, hey, this is a move we needed to make. We need to be aggressive. I think the understanding is there's about a 2 to 3 year window where the Titans can really, really go for it and compete for a Super Bowl. And, you know, it's better to say, hey, we tried and it didn't work out, to say, man, I wish we'd have pulled the trigger on that and at least tried to bring him in here, right?
Yep, that's exactly it. And John Robinson understands it, that, you know, windows in the NFL, they're not only small in what you can accomplish in winning a Super Bowl, but they're small in what time you might have, right? Like, I mean, look how many general managers in the NFL had one shot and it didn't work and they were gone. And, you know, you never saw them in a general manager role again, right? Like, I mean, you know, not saying that that would happen to John Robinson, but he understands that you have to go for it in that period that you have the opportunity to do it. And we're not saying that the salary cap doesn't exist or anything like that. You know, we hear those things. It definitely does. But you go after it, man. And, you know, they've got a real opportunity here to do something special. So, yeah, I think Titans fans should be happy that you have a general manager that wants to play that aggressive, because that's how you win.
And then we finally got it settled what number he's going to wear. I mean, let's, you know,
let's not bury the lead here.
It's the only sport, really, where that's a news story, right? But, any other sport like that?
No, you're right. But we talked about it, Alan, just the fact that, you know, I'm sure a lot of, you know, Jones number 2 navy blue and Columbia blue jerseys are on pre-order right now. It's a big deal knowing what number he's going to wear.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's crazy that you're right. Like, that is a talking point. But no, I mean, you know, it totally makes sense. And I like that the kind of the relationship that A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have already. You can tell that A.J. Brown just respects the hell out of Julio Jones, right? And I like that Julio Jones, you know, as a veteran, was, you know, said, look, A.J., I appreciate you offering up the 11. I'm not going to do that to you, man. That's your number. You know, you create your own legacy. Let me do this thing over here. It's just awesome. It just goes to show the type of people that these two guys are, and I think that's why this is going to work so well. You know, when we've seen other, free agent signings of Vic Beasley or whoever, that it just doesn't work out. That's why I think that this one does. And I know that, you know, we're talking about a number, but it just goes to show kind of the maturity of the player that they're getting. I'm excited to see it. I can't wait. And I know, I can guarantee this too. Everybody over there, you know, with the Titans can't wait to stock those shelves with number 2.
Yeah, the pro shop at the stadium is probably, you know, being flooded with calls right now.
You really wonder, though, on this, it's really got a feel of pushing all chips to the middle of the table for two things. One, a second round and then a fourth round the next 2 years, and potential, certainly a second rounder, but two potential starters. Plus, with the Tannehill restructuring, he's going to get 10 against the cap now. He's going to count, 10.7 this year, but in 2022, $38 million, and in 2023, 36 million, 38.6, 36.6. So essentially $75 million the next 2 years after this year, Tannehill against the cap. So we're going to start, if things don't evolve the way they need to, because, you know, Julio Jones, you got to figure he's here for the long run. He's guaranteed 17.3 the next 2 years after this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get in cap hell here pretty soon if they're not careful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a tough line to walk, right? But I'll say this. You know who else has to operate like that? The Patriots, the Chiefs, the Saints, the Packers. Like, teams that win. Like, that's the cost of doing business. And, you know, they've got a lot of people over there who are very intelligent and people that can figure this thing out. But you know what? That's what successful teams have to deal with. You know who else has to deal with probably one hell of an accounting book? Jeff Bezos. Mm. You know who doesn't mind having to deal with one hell of an accounting book? A billionaire, right? Like, that's a good problem to have. So I'm with you. It certainly is. There's risk involved, you know, with doing deals like this. But you know what? That's the NFL, and that's what it's all about. And you look at the teams that win. They signed people, and they signed big names. I mean, the Chiefs legitimately have done that the last, 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked out for them. You know, it's a cost of doing business, man, and they'll figure it out.
Alan Bell is our – go ahead.
Man. I'll get the reset because he's my friend.
Fine, you do the reset.
Alan Bell, 24/7 on Twitter, CBS Sports Line as well. You know, a lot of people have a problem with the games being played in London, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. They're going to play games in Germany.
German.
I mean, the NFL requesting proposals for future games in Germany. What about that?
Bell, AB, you got any German in your family?
No. I don't. I wish. All sorts of German food, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's just delicious, man.
It is.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's the NFL, right? Like, they've, you know, been, you know, wanting to expand globally, you know, for a while now. The interesting part is this. You know, we saw the plans of, like, after London, you know, where do they want to go? And the next stop was actually China. And, you know, politically.
Probably not a good idea right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some issues happened with that one. So they've kind of scrapped that, put that on the back burner. But, yeah, Germany makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we're going to continue to see these things pop up just because it's wild to think that the NFL actually has more space to grow, you know? So, you know, we might see a game or two. Again, it's in the best interest to not put too many games out there, so to say. But you know what? If they can float one or two and kind of tap into a market, it's all the better for them. And trust me, you guys know it better than I do. That NFL, like their actual front office, yeah, they're going to make every single penny that they can.
Well, just looking at these numbers, in Germany, annually since 2017, the TV market has grown 20% each year. Millions watch the Super Bowl. With 3 years in a row of German Super Bowl record viewership, the leading market outside of North America for NFL shop sales, fantasy football participation, and sales of the Madden NFL video game. So the market is already there. They just want to take advantage of it. It even more.
Sure. They had you know, they had that those European League teams there that were very popular. Stands were packed. I remember watching those games.
Yeah. I mean, all that, you know, all that aligns up perfectly. And you're right, you know, when they found a market that they already have and you could go in there and tap into that, you know, almost as a payday, so to say, I mean, it makes sense. And the NFL's going to keep doing it. And, you know, you can't blame them because it really is, you know, as popular as it is here, you know, in the United States, it's like you just said, it's popular, and, you know, in other areas across the world, too. It's wild how big that it is and how big it's going to get.
Alan Bell is our guest. Well, obviously, other than the Julio Jones news, the biggest story of this OTA/minicamp period is what's going on in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers not showing up for minicamp as most expected. You know, I just got a feeling, Alan. I heard this on another show in another market. I think it could happen. I just see John Gruden just going to Green Bay and say, look, we'll give you 5 number ones. Give us Aaron Rodgers. Let's go. I mean, how do you think this thing ends? Will Aaron Rodgers, A, be a Packer when the season starts? B, will he actually show up and play?
Yeah, I do. I think he is. We actually put out odds on this on Sportsline.
Okay.
And Aaron Rodgers to be the week one starter for the Packers is a favorite at around -180. And really, all of that saying to say this, Aaron Rodgers has no leverage in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
The question isn't, you know, is he going to be a Packer or not? The question is he gonna play? Because he has no demand on a trade whatsoever. The Packers don't want to trade him. He's not getting traded. So, you know, it comes down to, does he want to play or not? And I think that he does. And I think that he knows that he's in a window where he's really, really good right now, you know? And I don't think that he wants to hang it up to go host Jeopardy or anything like that. Like, you know, he could do both of those. Like,
now, Wheel of Fortune might be a different story, right, Alan?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think that he wants to do that, you know? And here's the thing. If the Packers had any interest in trading him, the 49ers legitimately were ready to give up the farm for him, and they did not even blink, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they have any interest. I don't think that there's really going to be – I mean, it could be something like that, like a Gruden popping up, maybe the Denver Broncos. But understand that they legitimately would have to pony up so much that you have to get the Packers' attention, and I don't even know what that number is. Like, legitimately, like, are you giving up, you know, your next five entire draft classes? Like, you would literally have to get their attention. Like, that's how big, you know, that's how much they don't want to trade the guy, right? So, we'll see. I mean, it'll get tighter once we get to training camp. But you know what? I mean, as it goes along, the pressure falls on Aaron. It's not going to fall on the team.
Right.
They've got their young, you know, quarterback. They've got an option there. And we all know how, you know, kind of the public persona. It's going to fall on Aaron, and Aaron's going to be the one that has to make a decision, not them.
Is this just a matter of Aaron saying, because Rich Eisen said this the other day, and I thought it was interesting. He basically said this just comes down to Aaron being butthurt about saying, hey, why are you dictating, you know, how it ends for me in Green Bay? I should be the one to dictate it. Is it as simple as that? Is it just a first world problem for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, it is. Now, there are issues, you know, obviously that we all know about, you know, in terms of him really not having much of a say, you know, in the team, in the draft classes and free agency, et cetera. Like, all those things kind of bubbling up. Like, it's like being in a, you know, in a marriage for 10 years and you don't talk about the little issues.
Right.
And then you wake up one day and the little issues become a big issue.
Gotcha.
Right? And, like, that's kind of where it's at. So Rich Eisen is absolutely correct. And now, what makes it difficult is that Aaron Rodgers is a pretty hard-headed guy, from, you know, what we all can understand, and he knows that he has no leverage in this situation, so he has to force the issue any way that he can, but this is really all that he has. So once it gets to training camp, it's going to get louder and louder and louder each day, but he knows this. It's his decision to make of whether he's coming back or not, because the team holds all the cards in it.
Basically, it was a new GM come in and said, there's a new sheriff in town, and and you know, going from there, and not kissing the ring.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Not genuflecting, oh, my God, goodness, Aaron, you're the greatest thing ever.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it, man.
Well, that's what, if you're the new GM, you've got the MVP, it just took you to the NFC Championship game.
Back-to-back championship games.
You got to read the room better than that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not putting, and none of us are, we're not putting all of this on Aaron. Like, this legitimately is it's a two-way street of a marriage of two people who just did not talk at all, and then they wake up one day, and you don't love each other anymore. You don't even know the other person, right? Like, I mean, it absolutely is a two-way street. And I put a lot of blame on the Packers of saying, how stupid can you be? You've got the best player. Like, give him a draft pick. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those – like, you look at the draft and, you know, he's saying, you know, 16 years, he didn't give me one. You look at the Packers and say, how did you not give the guy one? Like, give him one. Just give it to him. Like,
yeah, but did Brett Favre make draft picks? I mean, I'm just
– I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's a weird place to be, but it's one of those to where when you look back, you know, and, like say they do end up trading him, right? You kind of, like, get this divorce. You're like, man, I had 16 years. Like, maybe one time I could have cooked dinner. Like, I could have done that. You know, like, you just look back and you say, all right, maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. But in the time, it is.
Right.
So it's tough, man. Like, it's certainly not all on
We've all died on a lot of hills. And when you look back, it's like, did I really need to die on that hill? You're right.
Exactly. It's like, I could have given that one up. You know, like, that's how you look back. So, yeah, I don't put all this on Aaron. You know, the team has made a lot of mistakes. And I feel that the Seahawks and Russell Wilson might be having this kind of a same deal bubbling up here pretty soon as well.
Well, it'll keep you busy during the summer months, right? There's always something.
Go on vacation, man. Yeah. Go have some fun. We'll hold it down till you get back. The NFL will be waiting for
Alan
you.
Alan Bell, always great to have you on the show when I'm here. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Al. Love you, buddy.
I love y'all, man.
Talk to you, bro.
Hey, he